Welcome to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. I'm talking, thinking, musing, imagining about art from a multitude of perspectives with a lot of different people. Art will be at the center of all our talks. And as art can touch on all parts of life, our talks will reflect the abundance art has to offer and also tell you interesting stories you might enjoy listening to. For our international audience, the podcast will be held mostly in English. This is episode 26 with Bettina Steinbrügge, director of the Kunstverein in Hamburg, professor of art theory at the HFBK in Hamburg, former senior curator and collection manager at the Belvedere in Vienna, former director of the Halle für Kunst Lüneburg. She also held other teaching posts, is a lecturer, writer, and a worldwide acknowledged curator. The episode was recorded on January 30, 2021. Hello, dear Bettina. Very nice to have you.
Hi, Daniela.
You hold a post as the director of the Kunstverein in Hamburg since 2014. At the same time, you're a professor of art theory at the HFBK in Hamburg. What was the moment when you decided you would work in the art field, or what was the first inspiration that you wanted to do that?
I think it was around the age of 12, because I was in school and I had for the first time kind of art history lessons. So we did look at paintings and try to find out the narrative of the paintings. And this intrigued me tremendously. Mm-hmm. And so then I started to go to exhibitions, and I also had some friends who were interested in the arts. And then we organized ourselves and saw exhibitions. Most of it, you know, was in the beginning was Picasso and modern painters, Kandinsky, looking at that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I did Interrail, and we looked at museums throughout Europe during that time.
Wow. Was there one artist you were especially fascinated by?
I saw all Picasso museums. I liked that. I got into the arts over modern art, modernism in the 20s, 30s. And then, you know, after school, I moved to Chicago for a year because I wanted to learn the language better. And then I was a student at the Art of the School Institute, but it was a new non-degree studies. And it was a coincidence that I also lived with an artist. Mm. And so I really got into it. And Chicago was a very, very good school. I saw the museums. And after that, I went to Paris. And in Paris, I did French lessons for a year. And each Sunday, I went to the Beaubourg, because between 10 and 11, it was free entrance. And I always looked at three or four paintings. And then I walked away and did something else. And then I decided to study art history.
And then you came into contemporary art also.
Yeah, it's because I went to the art school in Kassel, one of the few schools in Germany that had art history at an art academy. So at the university, I studied comparative literature and English philology. And at the art school, I studied art history. And so in the beginning, I didn't know what I wanted. I did art history lessons, but I was sitting together with artists all the time. And we were also able to go to the studios and, you know, you sit together in the mensa and then you mm-hmm. start speaking about contemporary art, and you start to organize projects together. And you understand what it means to be a contemporary artist, and so on and so on. And that the end of my studies, I mean, I was working for the Kunstverein, I was working for the Documenta Archive, I was working for a film festival, and I got more and more introduced to contemporary artists. And then I thought, okay, this is what I really want to do.
It really grew very organically, and it grew through the artists themselves, which is great because that's more related to the practice and not so much to the theory, although I know that you're very well educated in theory. yes, I know that you read a lot. I mean, it's like if you studied literature as well, then that is not a surprise so much. Also, there's one thing, I mean, we just dive into it directly, that is
probably a deep question, but it for me, it's very important right now, because in this situation right now, we feel that the cultural sector, everybody writes about it, but in fact, it's a bit undervalued. And so what I wanted to ask you is, what do you really think is the meaning art has in our society on a deeper level and art should have in our society?
I mean, for me, art is one of the few areas in society where you don't have so many rules. Mm-hmm. That makes it very difficult for many people, because people like rules. That is very human. But you have the chance to really look at things from different sides, from different angles, and try to understand society. And you have a certain freedom in thought. And that's what I value highly in the arts. And I think art is really all the arts. It can also be music and whatsoever. It's a motor for a certain discourse in society about what we want to do as human beings. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything else is like, we have this economy became so strong, and economic thinking. I mean, that happened in the 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. and it's overruling everything at the moment. I mean, look at the education system that is ruled by the economy in a certain way. I don't like that very much, because then you have different values or different ideas of what education, for example, should do. And in the arts, it's still, I mean, we have a very strong art market, and there's also a lot of money involved, but there's also a different art field that thinks about the human condition and does it in a very open form, without looking for if you can valorize it and so on. And it's so, yeah, it is an opportunity to think about what we are as humans in a certain way. And I mean, other people use other things for that, but I think the art field has a unique chance to really look at how we live, how we think, and to pose important questions. It's also about empathy in a certain mm-hmm. way. You know, it poses different questions than if you, I don't know, if you go to a soccer game, then you have a winner and a loser, for example. Mm-hmm. It's big fun. I mean, or if you go shopping, then you buy something and you feel happy, and that in 24 hours you have to buy something else. It's really, in its best case, it's people are coming together mm-hmm. and they're looking at things, and they don't look at things because they have to finish a task or whatsoever. They look at things because some people decided to tackle this topic mm. and then they're doing something with it. In the beginning, there's almost no reason to do something. There's an inner need to do something. Mm. And that creates different topics.
Yes, I mean, I believe too that art is something so intrinsic human that one of the first things after probably people came back from hunting, they started drawing on the walls of the cave or dancing or something like that. So it's like super basic. But why do you think that is so much forgotten? Or why do you think that many, many people don't think it is so necessary, in the politics at least?
I think our society is a bit out of balance at the moment. Usually, you know, you have the economy, the arts, what is the third field again? I don't remember at the moment.
You have the economy and the arts, that's it.
Yeah, economy and the arts. No, there was something else, but okay. I mean, economic thinking took over mm-hmm. everything. You know, I think formerly in capitalism, we had just like what we in Germany we call soziale Marktwirtschaft. Mm-hmm.
Like a social form of capitalism.
Exactly. And we put money into swimming pools, for example, mm. in many things that created something good for society in a certain way. But I don't know when it started. I did this project with Marion von Osten on the education system in Germany at the University in Lüneburg. And I think maybe it was the 70s or the 80s. They started that everything has to be create a win-win situation, or that you need a certain amount of visitors, then something is good, or, you know, you have to value everything and you have to get money out of it in a certain way. It's a kind of economic thinking. It's a different thinking than if you think about is a society happy, or I mean, or I have a job, how do I earn? So if I earn more, the job is better or whatsoever. And the arts, it's not part of the art field, actually. If you do this with the art field, it's quite difficult, because then you can only show blockbuster shows and do certain things. It's really difficult, because most of the arts, I mean, look at Dadaism. In the beginning, I think 5 people liked it.
Yeah, that's true.
Completely crazy. If you would try to do this today, it would be really more difficult, because if you only value things that have, like, I don't know, a huge amount of people like, then it doesn't have a chance, you know?
Mm. So you mean now it's like the clicks or the likes on your Instagram account?
Exactly.
We just value that it's the more the better. And we don't learn from history that very often the most important things started very, very small.
Exactly. And we don't value that anymore. Mm. That is a bit the problem. People value things when other people like it. Mm. And with contemporary art is something that sometimes needs 100 years. You know, our Kunstverein did the first solo show of Caspar David Friedrich. That was in 1820, whatever. And look, it took 100 years that people valued Caspar David Friedrich in a certain way, because in the 19th century, people didn't like it very much.
Yeah, that's interesting. Felix Krämer, the director of Kunstpalast, also told me about this, who have a Caspar David Friedrich show right now, and said that he was he was not like the big star during his lifetime.
No.
But you won't wish that for an artist. So on one hand, all those social media and everything is a very democratizing thing. Everybody has possibility to promote themselves. But what I see and also hear is that it is all about promotion. So everybody promotes themselves. But the content, so that it's about more, that it might be, as you said, about empathy or about human expression, about the society, it can be about so many things. What do you think we in the art world can do? What can we do to make that better, to open up those spaces, to have more air to create, to stay smaller and still have an influence?
I mean, we have to endure what I find interesting. I mean, running an institution in the beginning, people don't know what to expect. And especially in Hamburg, you have to gain trust in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you invite them, if you explain what contemporary art is or what it could be, if you take your time and take them seriously, then they come and they also stay.
Mm.
People are not running away, you know? I mean, contemporary art has more visitors than they ever had before in the whole history of contemporary art.
Before Corona.
Yes, before COVID. Exactly. And that is amazing. I mean, but we are not taken so seriously at the moment. But I just got the numbers from the European Union. Even economies should take us seriously, because it is actually really big business and a lot of people earn money in the arts. So especially on this side, they should value it higher. But I think a lot of people don't like to be distracted by critical questions at the moment. That is one point. And art is distracting, because there are asking critical questions. Many artists, not always, but they do. For many people, it's annoying. And I also heard people in Hamburg telling me, you know, they have such a stressful job, and that in the evening they want to see something nice, and they don't want to talk about the problems of the world. And so in the arts, they rather prefer when it's nice.
That is true, but you can have both. You can enjoy like a Picasso painting. It can even uplift you. You know, and still it poses critical questions. It's not a contradiction necessarily in the arts.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many different reasons at the moment. Also, what complex art needs is a certain kind of cultural education.
Mm.
It's not as strong as in the 80s, for example, or 90s. Also, there, economy became more important in schools, at university, and so on. It's the whole way of thinking that the way people look at the art field at the moment is rather like, they see the entertainment industry, or then they see sometimes, yeah, it can be a bit annoying, or I don't understand it. People want to understand things in 3 minutes, very many. You see that also in texts, like texts in magazines are getting shorter and shorter. You see it in the TV program. I mean, in the 80s, it was possible to see Fassbinder movies in prime time.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they're not even in the program anymore, not even at 3 a.m.
Mm. But do you think this is also, like it always was, also a generational gap? There's a young generation which is very politicized, who went on the street before COVID for Fridays for Future. And there's also a generation that only gets their information about art on Instagram very, very fast, and is not used anymore to dive deep into things. Do you think this sort of like lack of concentration is something we all developed?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm not a person who thinks that everything is going bad in the next couple of years. I'm also teaching. There are so many people who are interested in the arts and who really understand. And I mean, the museums are not empty, and they're coming. And I have also so many young people who want to just work at the Kunstverein. Just they're asking questions and they're curious. So I think the world is changing constantly. At the moment, we have this economic thinking, but that will also change because it's also not sustainable anymore. And then the arts will be valued higher at a certain point, I think.
This is something I really believe in, that this could happen. And do you think the actual situation could even help with this, as disturbing as it might be?
COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, people really understand now that they are missing a community in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the moment, they're allowed to work and to be home, nothing else. And then you understand what it means to meet people, to be in a community, to experience something with people, to, we can't go to the theater, we can't see a show. And they understand what it means if this is not there. And I think that is quite interesting. Some people like to stay home. I mean, we don't know. But I think this changed over the winter. I don't want to be at home anymore. And I feel it myself. And I just want to see shows.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is something I really have on my agenda, to really go to the cinemas,
mm-hmm.
to support them. But also because it's just so dissatisfying to only watch things on a small monitor.
Mm-hmm.
To go to the theater, to for sure see shows, for sure. You know, but really much more consciously. But you said in an interview in May 2020, a re-evaluation of the art world is necessary. What do you mean by this?
Oh, this is like the structure. During that time, I meant, especially I looked at the museums, and what I saw in the last couple of years was also while working for the Belvedere, who also has a lot of blockbuster shows, it became more and more important to have blockbusters and to grow bigger, and also the art fairs. And then, you know, the traveling, we go to all the biennials and travel around the world, which is not sustainable. And we know that, you know, formerly museums, for example, it took them 3 to 5 years to produce shows. And now with this different economy, they work differently, because if you only have to look for numbers, and that is also political pressure and also pressure by the society, it is sometimes easier to shop an older show than working on other topics or working with a collection.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of museums for a long time didn't work with the collection that much anymore, because it was much easier to do just shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people in the museums didn't like that development very much, but it happened because of economic pressure. And I think we all have to slow down a bit. We should all think what we are doing. I mean, for me, it's the same. I traveled a lot and I loved it and I still love it.
Mm-hmm.
But is it really okay to take a plane every week to go somewhere? Do we really have to see all biennials with the same people? We also have to rethink, even also as a Kunstverein, what do we do with a local audience?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to do something differently? How do we address them? But how do we stay global in mind? And this is, for me, it's the climate crisis is far bigger threat that is at the horizon. And this virus gives us a first glimpse, you know, and maybe it's really a good time to revalue the way we are working or to readjust a bit our ideas of what a progressive art field is. I mean, it's also the same with the art fairs, you know, it's like, they became bigger and bigger and more, and you know, everything became bigger and more. Or if artists produce installations now, they have 5 editions and not one, mm-hmm. you know, and so on. There's also a huge overproduction in this field, mm-hmm. I think.
I completely agree that slowing down might be a healthy thing. And you say also here from the re-evaluation of the art world based on more solidarity, for example. Mm-hmm. And this would be something I'd be really interested in to know. You said in this interview with Gallery TalkNet that in Hamburg you perceived more solidarity. But you think general in the art world with all the different players, museums, artists, galleries, art fairs, that there is a really visible movement of solidarity which will also be strong into the future?
Let's see. You never know. I mean, the question of care is, you see it everywhere. Next documentary will also have the question of care. A lot of curators and institutions are working on that. On the other side, people fight for their museums and for their power and so on. I mean, it's always both, mm. you know. It is interesting that the question of care, we had it in the show, not fully human, not human at all. It's interesting that it's coming back now. I also think that people revalue community. Mm-hmm. And after like 20 years of complete consumption, a lot of people understand that there are also other values. And the art field is like all the other fields is reacting to that. And it's also seeing it and it's discussing. But let's see. I mean, on the other side, I talked to our senator yesterday, and the next 2 years we will be fine. They will put some money into the arts, but from 23 on, there will be major cuts. So let's see how people react to that, if then there will be solidarity or not. I don't know.
I mean, we're just in the midst of it and in a kind of waiting room, and where we don't know which door will open to something new. But what you said in the beginning, we need a different storytelling. That, for example, I think it is Bangladesh where they don't measure the economic happiness, but they measure really the success of the country by the happiness of its citizens.
Yes, I heard about that.
What is a country about? It's not about a big global economic players. It's about the citizens. So the happier they are, the better. And that does not mean necessarily only economic happiness. It means all fields. If that would be a different storytelling, that would be great. But you also said that you try to, in your practice at the Kunstverein, you cannot travel as much. You have to be more flexible with the shows, but at the same time, keep an international profile. How do you do that?
That is a very good question. It's still an experiment. I don't know. I mean, we put all our work and effort really in the digital platform since last year, because I think it stays. Mm-hmm. And you can always do both. And what I find interesting is that I don't like the digital platforms very much for shows. Mm-hmm. For me, it's not, at the moment, not an exhibition space. It's a space where you can communicate. Like we did a symposium in November. It's interesting if you do it online, you have like, I don't know, suddenly you have 50, 60 people from different countries, mm-hmm. and they're listening and they're discussing. I think it's a perfect tool for art mediation and for coming together and to talk about experiences. And this is a unique opportunity and we should use it and we should try this and see how it goes. I don't think that we shouldn't travel at all anymore, mm-hmm. because travel and globalization was really necessary for this society to understand the other.
Absolutely.
And shutting travel down is just the worst thing I could imagine in a society. But I think we should just think of what is really necessary. You know, we don't have to fly to Mallorca for 3 days, and we don't have to fly for a meeting from Hamburg to Frankfurt. We can also do this online. And I think a lot of people understood this over the past couple of months, that you don't have to come together all the time. You can do it differently. And we just have to be more careful. And we have to, we have to pose our questions a bit different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, miles and more status shouldn't be a status, but it was a very, very important status and a lot of other things. And I think we have to pose different questions, actually.
The thing gets value that we put value in, and this can be very different things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is what we are really learning at the moment.
What was for you the most important or also inspiring or good learning from the past couple of months, where you say, yeah, that was actually a good thing?
Yeah, I don't really know. The problem is I'm really tired because the bureaucracy of the past couple of months was really breathtaking. So a really good thing, yeah. everything is okay. And I try to be happy and look at it from a very productive side. I mean, the good thing is coming together with people really online,
mm-hmm.
and really talking and speaking about the situation. I mean, there are many, many great ideas, and that is inspiring.
What would be then your wish for the rest of the year or next year for the coming months?
That we can have an opening again. Our openings are great. That we can come together and just celebrate the arts in a way and see each other and so on. And I want to see shows. Also the wish that this is going over soon and that not so many people have to die. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the other point. I mean, there are people dying out there. And we have to really care about that. And so I just hope it will be over soon.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear is like, I really like the care moment, what you say. So that is actually very important, not only in relation to the virus, but now generally just like perceiving the other, seeing the other, caring for the other.
Yes, I think that is important. Also, you know, if you have an institution and then you have to close down and then you have to, what do you do with all the people working mm-hmm. there? Can you take them home? Do you cut salaries? How do you deal with all the freelancers? How can you help them? And so on. I mean, that was what we were negotiating the months of March mm-hmm. and April. That was the most important thing. And also summer, I mean, we completely changed our program, and we also invited dancers and actors who were not able to work because we were the only fields in culture that were open, and just mm-hmm. did something that was more spontaneous, activist, and in order so they could get at least one fee or could do something, you know, besides sitting at home.
Yes, I noticed that you worked very proactively and helped your freelancers and really tried to get as much people kind of employed as possible.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the whole art field is really damaged by that. And we shouldn't forget about it. I don't know what will happen to the cinemas. I mean, it's something that is very dear to me. Or to the theaters. They work 60% and only get 60% paid so that you can keep them and don't have to fire them. I mean, it was different in the United States. There's hire and fire. What's happening to all these people?
We won't go back to the old normal. That's not possible. We need to find a new structure. We need to reestablish mm-hmm. new things.
Yeah, I mean, the structure in Germany is much better than in other countries.
Yes.
And I have high respect of also the cultural department of the city of Hamburg. They are working hard since last March
mm-hmm.
to uplift the people, to bring the money to where it's needed and to help the freelancers. There's something I learned last year. It was really this kind of solidarity also from the political field.
Now that we can learn from Hamburg.
Mm-hmm. it is really good. I understood that in this community, the arts are embedded in a certain way of thinking. So people really want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good feeling.
That's the solidarity that happens. So maybe we can count more on this than we mm-hmm. are conscious about right now. So one last question would be, what would you wish from the art world and from probably also the politicians right now to do, how to react?
What I really would like is that also politics understand the significance of the arts and don't have major cuts in the arts programs of schools, for example, mm-hmm. and don't just put it into the leisure department.
Yeah.
I think it is more important than that. And I think also from the national political side, they should express that because we really need that. It's not only about money, but we need other places where people think differently. Otherwise, as a society, we can't survive if we don't have that. And I really mean that. And there is a significance and they should acknowledge it, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Bettina, very much for this talk.
Thanks a lot.
For more information on Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast, follow us on Instagram at Voices on Art and at van_horn_Düsseldorf. There you can also leave a comment. Or visit our website, van-horn.net, and subscribe to Voices on Art on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the platform of your choice. If you want to, leave us a rating.
Thank you for listening to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. Stay tuned and connect.